Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Less is More, How Degrowth Will Save the World by anthropologist Jason Hickel, presents a forceful critique of the idea that endless economic growth is compatible with a livable planet. Drawing on widely discussed research in ecological economics, climate science, and global inequality, Hickel argues that the dominant growth model depends on high material and energy throughput, and that efficiency gains alone cannot reliably offset rising consumption. He traces how modern economies became structured around expansion, linking growth to colonial extraction, unequal exchange, and political institutions that prioritize GDP over well-being. The book introduces degrowth as a planned, democratic downscaling of resource use in wealthy economies, paired with policies that protect livelihoods and expand public goods. Rather than framing degrowth as austerity, it is presented as a shift towards sufficiency, care, and shared prosperity within ecological limits. The central promise is practical: redesign the economy to meet human needs while rapidly cutting emissions and restoring ecosystems. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the myth of green growth. A core theme is the challenge to green growth, the belief that economies can keep expanding while environmental impacts fall fast enough to avert ecological breakdown. Hickel focuses on the distinction between relative decoupling and absolute decoupling. Relative decoupling happens when impacts rise more slowly than GDP, but total damage can still increase. Absolute decoupling requires impacts to decline in real terms while GDP grows, at a pace aligned with climate targets and biodiversity protection. The book argues that although some countries show partial declines in certain territorial emissions, the broader picture, including consumption footprints, imported materials, and outsourced production, is far less reassuring. Efficiency improvements can be canceled out by rebound effects, where cheaper energy or materials spur more use. Hickel also stresses that many environmental harms are tied to physical throughput, such as mining, land conversion, and waste, which face hard limits. This critique is not anti-technology. It questions whether technology alone can deliver the required reductions while preserving the growth imperative. The takeaway is that climate strategy should be built around binding ecological goals, not optimistic assumptions that GDP growth will remain harmless if markets innovate quickly enough. Secondly, how growth became a political and economic obligation. The book explores why growth is treated as non-negotiable, arguing it is embedded in modern institutions rather than simply chosen by consumers. Hickel links growth dependence to profit-driven production, competitive pressure, and debt-based finance. Firms are pushed to expand to survive, while governments rely on growth to stabilize employment, fund budgets, and avoid social conflict. When growth slows, unemployment rises and inequality tends to sharpen, which makes leaders cling to expansion even when ecological costs are obvious. Hickel also emphasizes historical roots. Colonialism and extractive trade patterns helped establish high consumption cores supported by resource frontiers elsewhere. This history matters because it shapes present-day global supply chains and the distribution of environmental burdens. The narrative reframes growth as a system-level compulsion that can be redesigned. Instead of assuming human well-being naturally tracks GDP, the book highlights how the benefits of growth are often captured by elites, while the costs are socialized through pollution, precarious work, and ecological loss. This systems view sets up the case for degrowth as a political project, requiring new rules, public planning, and democratic choices rather than solely individual lifestyle adjustments. Thirdly, degrowth as planned prosperity. Within planetary limits, Hickel presents degrowth as an organized transition, not an economic crash. The goal is to reduce material and energy use in high-income economies while improving quality of life through redistribution and public provisioning. The book frames this as moving from an economy designed to maximize production and profit to one designed to meet human needs with minimal ecological impact. Key is the concept of sufficiency, defining what constitutes a good life and ensuring it is universally accessible without requiring ever-rising consumption. Degrowth is paired with rapid decarbonization, shorter supply chains where appropriate, and prioritization of low-impact sectors such as care, education, repair, arts, and ecosystem restoration. Rather than measuring success by GDP, Hickel encourages metrics linked to health, time, security, and environmental stability. Importantly, the book separates the needs of wealthy nations from those of poorer countries. Degrowth primarily applies to economies with oversized footprints, creating ecological space for lower-income regions to build essential infrastructure and services. This topic emphasizes that degrowth is not about doing less of everything, but doing less of what is destructive and more of what sustains lives, communities, and the living world. Fourthly, policy tools. From redistribution to public goods, the book discusses policy directions that can maintain social stability while shrinking throughput. A prominent idea is reducing working hours to share productivity gains as time rather than more output, which can cut emissions and improve well-being. Strong labor protections and job guarantees in socially necessary sectors are presented as ways to prevent insecurity during transition. Hickel argues for robust public services such as healthcare, education, housing, transit, and energy, because universal basic provisioning can deliver high living standards with less material consumption than privatized market-driven systems. Progressive taxation, wealth taxes, and limits on excessive incomes are framed as both justice measures and ecological measures, since high income consumption drives disproportionate impacts. The book also points to regulating or phasing down destructive industries, ending subsidies for fossil fuels and resource extraction, and shifting investment toward renewables and restoration. Financial reforms are discussed as part of reducing growth dependence, including rethinking debt pressures and ensuring public banking or monetary tools serve social and ecological goals. Overall, Hickel emphasizes that degrowth requires deliberate governance, setting caps on resource use and emissions, while designing institutions that make a dignified life less dependent on high consumption. Lastly, global justice and the post-colonial dimension. A defining element of Hickel's argument is that ecological transition is inseparable from global justice. He highlights how many low- and middle-income countries experience the environmental damage of extraction while receiving a smaller share of value, a dynamic often described in public debates as unequal exchange. This matters for climate policy because wealthy country consumption frequently relies on imported materials, energy-intensive manufacturing, and land use elsewhere. The book argues that solutions must address not only national emissions, but also the global distribution of resources, labor, and decision-making power. Degrowth in rich nations is presented as a pathway to reduce pressure on resource frontiers, allowing ecosystems and communities in the global south more autonomy and better outcomes. Hickel also emphasizes that development should not be equated with copying high-consumption Western trajectories. Instead, he points toward meeting human needs through public services, clean energy, and fair trade terms, supported by reforms such as debt relief and technology sharing. This topic reframes climate responsibility. Those who have benefited most from historical and ongoing extraction should lead in reducing material footprints and funding equitable transitions, enabling a world where prosperity does not depend on domination or depletion. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a rigorous, big-picture explanation of why climate and biodiversity goals clash with business. As usual, economics, including students, policymakers, organizers, and curious general readers. It is also valuable for anyone dissatisfied with advice that focuses only on personal lifestyle changes because it emphasizes structural drivers and collective solutions. The benefit to a reader's life is twofold. It clarifies the economic logic behind ecological crises, and it offers a hopeful framework for imagining security and abundance in non-material terms such as time, health, community, and resilience. By connecting economics to everyday outcomes like work hours, housing, and public services, it helps readers translate environmental concern into practical priorities. Compared with many sustainability books that rest on optimistic assumptions about green growth, Hickel makes the case with a sharper focus on physical limits, rebound effects, and global inequality. The result is a distinctive synthesis: climate action, redistribution, and post-colonial justice treated as one agenda rather than separate issues. For buyers deciding among similar titles, its strength is the combination of accessible narrative, systems analysis, and concrete policy directions that make degrowth feel like a viable political project. If you would like to support Jason Hickel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.